WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Robert Hellinga's acclaimed first novel, The 16 Pleasures, described the life-altering adventures of an art restorer in Florence, Italy. Hellinga's new novel, The Fall of a Sparrow, has just been published, and book critic Maureen Corrigan says it surely qualifies as a 17th pleasure.
Towards the end of Robert Hellinga's magnificent new novel, The Fall of a Sparrow, the main character finds himself in Rome, staring down at the Colosseum and thinking of how Freud used the city and civilization and its discontents to represent the secretive depths of the human mind. It's too bad Freud so definitively staked his claim on Rome as metaphor, because the city, with its layers upon layers of history, of stories, would also be the perfect symbol for this rich and elusive novel. In The Fall of a Sparrow, Hellinga has pulled off perhaps the most difficult writer's trick of all. He set down the ungraspable. Hellinga wields a magical language that's not so cryptic as to baffle the reader, and not so plain that it flattens out the essential mystery of the emotions and experiences he's describing. The Fall of a Sparrow is a novel about loss and slow, rending transformation. Our hero, Alan Woodhull, nicknamed Woody, is a classics professor at a small Midwestern college. He and his wife, Hannah, had three daughters. But 7 years before the story proper begins, the oldest daughter, Cookie, is killed when a terrorist group bombs the train station she happens to be sitting in Bologna, Italy. Afterwards, Hannah retreats into religion, eventually divorcing Woody and entering a cloistered convent. Woody turns to his beloved classical authors for solace. The terror of coincidence is the phrase he invokes from Oedipus Rex to try to comprehend Cookie's death. He also turns to Schopenhauer and Plato, but, we're told, he soon realized that they didn't know anything more about death than the authors of self-help books, and they didn't have any practical advice. With the passing of time, Woody has recovered his sense of humor and a degree of happiness, but he's only half alive. A man who doesn't want any more adventures. A man who thought that life had already taught him all the lessons he needed to learn. If I tell you that The Fall of a Sparrow charts how Woody, like Homer's Ulysses, stumbles into those unwanted adventures, quests for adequate words to express his grief, and finally sails home to a measured peace, you might get the wrong impression. You might think that this is one of those ennobling stories that celebrate the inevitable triumph of the human spirit, or some such rubbish. No, I mean for that Ulysses allusion to be taken seriously, for The Fall of a Sparrow really is like a classical epic in its vastness of tone. There's plenty of tragedy and comedy here, as well as frisky passages that describe Woody's affair with an Iranian graduate student, luscious descriptions of Italian banquets, and directions on how to play authentic steel guitar blues. Woody's middle daughter, Sarah, occasionally takes over the narrative, and in her rueful, funny voice, tells us about working as a waitress in Chicago after college, and watching, helplessly, as her father voyages out of her reach. As you'd expect in this classically inflected tale, there's also a decisive confrontation here with a monster. After years of delays, the terrorists responsible for Cookie's death are brought to trial. Woody abandons his teaching job to go to Rome and confront the young female zealot who planted the bomb. Their face-to-face meeting in her jail cell is as harrowing as any of Ulysses' deadly rendezvous with Homer's chorus line of she-demons. You don't need to be an oracle, one of Homer's other stock characters, to see that end-of-the-century fever is upon us. We're being deluged with lists of, among other things, the greatest novels of the 20th century. The bias of these lists is usually conservative. By that I mean they implicitly suggest that the best has been, that as we've been hearing for some time now, the novel is dead. Ha! Every time a great new novel, like The Fall of a Sparrow, appears, it renews the form, and its hearty, true voice drowns out the smug mewlings of the literary doomsayers.
Maureen Carrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Fall of a Sparrow by Robert Hellinger.